Where are my friends? Excuse me, do you know where they're taking us?
No. Please remove your hands from me.
Jaden. King Jaden. Let's see. Loving? Merciful? Kind? Yes. Kind. Is that... Deceived!
Independent. You look a bit pale there. Get a hold of yourself. We're in Athabel, my friend.
Yes. Yes, of course. Have you seen the others?
No, but...
Oh, Fainheart! Oh, now I know I'm in the right place.
Independent? Whew. What's the matter?
This is quite a big day for the boy.
Well, would it make you feel better to know that Sages is here?
Sages?
Hello, everyone.
A pleasure to see you, sir.
But why are you here? I requested permission to escort my former students to the throne.
That's very kind.
Independent, I haven't seen you since graduation.
Yes, I'm sorry. And I regret all those vain things I said back in Endel. The truth is clear now. I was the fool.
I wish I could have done more to help you.
Sages, please remember that I was a good citizen in Endel. I made the most of myself there.
It is time.
I don't understand. Time for...
Hear ye, you are hereby summoned to appear before the great King Jaylen in the Hall of Judgment. And the first to be called is... Independent.
Me?
I will go with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sages.
You're going to be fine, my friend.
All the best.
Thank you. I've never seen doors this size in all my life. This hall is so gigantic. It's up there. Far up there. Is that the throne?
Yes, it is.
Jaylen.
Come, step forward, Independent.
It's hard to walk. I'm so glad you're with me, Sages. Loving and merciful. Loving and merciful. Loving and merciful. Loving and merciful. Loving and merciful.
Deceit, look. It's charity and selfish. Fainheart, deceived.
We've been looking for you as well.
Independent just now went into the Hall of Judgment.
We heard.
We're finally going to see Jaylen.
Charity? There is a judgment side of Jaylen. I'm wondering how we will fare before his throne.
Yeah, I wonder for Independent as well.
Loving and merciful. Independent, no father. All is now between you and Jaylen. Look up to him, and I suggest you kneel.
Yes, of course.
All shall recognize and understand that I am he who searches minds and the inmost hearts. And I will give to each of you as your work deserves. Independent, it is time to give an account of your stewardship.
Above the huge doors, a beam of pure, white-hot light burst into the great hall. The beam struck a prism of pure crystal above the throne, then split into a thousand colors at the front of the hall. The colors transformed into images. Images of Independent and his life.
Not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless to the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
Nothing is hidden.
I don't believe in Jay.
What? No.
And I believe that these stories are all part of a myth.
No.
You need to be set free from this narrow thinking. All of you, find your own truth.
Don't be foolish.
You all are the fool. And Sages is a great teacher of fools. Even if there was a Jalen, such a king wouldn't be so strict with all these rules. It's all part of the system.
Will you stop talking like that? You sound like a lunatic.
I have had enough myself. Thank you.
I invested well. Gold trading, merchandise. Business has been good. Life has been good. King Jalen would have been proud of me.
Oh, my king. At the least, my good deeds outweighed my bad. I am ready now to receive your correction.
Scribe, is Independence name found in the Book of Life?
No.
What does this mean?
Independent, you are guilty of choosing an evil nature. What? You are to be taken to the forsaken land of Loam to spend the rest of your life in the torment of utter darkness,
no.
Hopelessness, and loneliness.
Lord, why?
You did not believe in me. Your teachers taught, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins.
But Lord...
There is salvation in and through no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men, by and in which we must be saved.
But Lord Jalen, what about my good work? Didn't they outweigh any evil I committed?
It is not a matter of how little or much you break the law. For the person who keeps every law of Jalen but makes one little slip is just as guilty as the person who has broken every law.
How then can anyone be saved?
Patient, you may address Independence.
Did not your teachers tell you, Independence? Jalen saved you by his special favor when you believed. And you cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from Jalen. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it.
Long ago, I paid the price for the laws which had been and would be broken by the citizens of Endel. It was impossible for anyone to remain sinless against me or to redeem themselves from their treason. But because I love all, I paid the price myself. So my salvation is a gift which cannot be earned. It was impossible to earn enough good deeds to merit citizenship in Aphabel. It comes through believing in me. Yet you rejected what I did to save your life.
Then all I did was good for nothing?
It is written, the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, nor are they remembered. Whatever they did in their lifetime, loving, hating, envying, is all long gone. They no longer have a part in anything. For the evil have no future. Their light will be snuffed out.
If only I had listened. But King Jalen, you are a merciful king. I was taught that at the school of Endel. Yes, you are full of mercy.
I am a merciful king. That is exactly why I am sending you away. By choosing to spend your time in Endel the way you did, you permanently chose your nature, that of the Dark Lord Dagon. How could I be merciful, true, and loving if I allowed your immoral character to pollute the purity of this great city? I would put the innocent of Aphabel in harm's way. Your chosen nature would soon manifest and thus corrupt thousands of pure lives. You have chosen your own way. And you will be recompensed exactly as the one you have followed, Dagon. If I gave you any less than I gave him, then I would be an unjust leader. And that I am not.
But Lord...
He who despises the word will be destroyed. But he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. Guardsmen, bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness.
No.
There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.
Yes, but no...
You cannot do this to me. Stop! What are you doing? Where are you taking me? No!
I wonder how independent is Barry.
I wonder as well.
I'm sure he's fine.
I'm not so sure. He rejected Jalen most of his life.
Let's ask Double Life. He should know.
Let's not ask Double Life.
Oh? What's this all about?
Hear ye, hear ye. Shortly, you will face your king. He has beheld your heart and discerned your fruit. He knows your hearts, your motives, your thoughts and feelings, as well as your works. Nothing is hidden. No, his judgment is just. And now, step forward, Selfish!
Did he just announce my name?
Yes, I believe he did.
Perhaps I was chosen early because I was the mayor of Endell. It just occurred to me. The ancient writings speak of ruling positions in Apabel. And it's very possible that...
It's time, Selfish.
This is phenomenal. Selfish. Sages. Am I glad to have you here?
I'm glad to be able to see you as well.
Tell me something. Are those thrones I see all around the Great Throne?
Yes.
And it appears that a few are still empty.
Those are the thrones of the Under-Rulers.
Under-Rulers? That sounds appealing.
Come on.
Those doors. Oh, my. Sages, I see an old friend. May I...
May.
Social? Is that you?
But my name is no longer Social. It's now Content.
That sounds quaint. But why are you here at the back of the hall?
It is a great honor to stay anywhere in Jalen's throne room. Although, if I had known in Endell what I know now, I would have lived differently. I'd be closer to him today.
I don't understand.
You were a great citizen in India.
You ran one of the most popular restaurants we had and donated to more causes than I could count. Mm. And what about those nights you donated meals for the needy?
Well, I did those things to gain recognition and acceptance. I also knew it would draw more patrons. But I should have listened to the words of Jalen. He told us, when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. But you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just.
Mm.
I donated those dinners for my benefit, not for the good of the community.
But what about all those contributions you made to the School of Endell?
I actually only gave a small percentage. I hoarded much of the restaurant's profits because I was afraid of failing. The little I gave was to ease my conscience.
I made some contributions to the School of Endell as well.
I know.
I'm wondering now.
When my life was reviewed, it was clear to all that I lived more for my own comfort. Own comfort, security, and reputation, than for his glory. Now I'm one of the lowest citizens of this city, and yet I am still overwhelmed by his goodness and how much he loves me.
Wait now. You said lowest citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mean to tell me there's a class system here?
Yes, there is of sorts. But we were taught this in Endell, although many of us never considered it seriously. But deep within, we knew. In fact, when you walked into this hall, I heard your thoughts.
You did?
You anticipate being assigned a throne. Am I correct?
Well, I suppose, perhaps. You heard all my thoughts, you say?
Oh, yes. We all did.
Oh, my.
Those of us who live more for our own purposes than the kings are the least in the kingdom. We occupy the back rows here in this hall. We also live in the flatlands where we work the labor-intensive jobs. Those who are more loyal in Endel occupy the middle of this hall and those in the front up there. And upon the thrones are those who were faithfully obedient and lived passionately for the king while in Endel. They are most blessed. They live in the beautiful regal center on the eastern cliffs. This is where the king lives. And they are privileged to live and work right alongside him. These are the greatest in the kingdom.
Oh, I see.
Selfish. Know that Jaylen is a just and loving leader. None of this life would have been possible had it not been for him. It's a great privilege to occupy even the least part of this city.
Come, Selfish. Much to ponder there. Hold on. Is that Motivator, the teacher from the school?
It is he.
May I speak with him?
You may.
Mr. Motivator.
Hello, Selfish.
I'm a little confused. You were a great teacher of Jaylen, and your classes were some of the most popular in school, so why are you here in the back rows?
This is my place. I am one of the least of the citizens of Rapperville. I live in the flatlands and work as a plumber.
What? You're one of the least? You should be on one of those thrones up there.
It was a great privilege and responsibility to be an instructor in the ways of Jaylen. And yet, in many ways, I failed.
No, I don't understand.
My teachings were unbalanced. I emphasized only the positive aspects of serving Jaylen. I motivated many of my students to use his ways to pursue success without warning them about the pitfalls and snares of life. I didn't teach them that the truest goal of life was to please Jaylen. The ancient writings clearly stated I was to preach the whole counsel of Jaylen. I taught, but neglected to warn. I built numerous lives which brought little glory to Jaylen. And a good number of my students now inhabit the forsaken land of Lurn.
No.
I didn't give the students what they needed. I gave them what they wanted. It was more popular to say all was well. It wasn't well. I encouraged their course and certified their deception. Oh, some made it to Aphrodel. Many of them are found here, in these back rows. Their lives were spent wastefully, and their efforts consumed with fire before this judgment fate. And I yet grieve for those at Lone.
You said fire?
Yes. Do you not remember the ancient writings? Everyone's work will be put through the fire to see whether or not it keeps its value. If the work survives the fire, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The foundation, of course, is the lordship of Jaylen, which we both know is the only way a person can enter this kingdom. However, once we truly belong to him, we should build upon this foundation. When measured by the ancient writings, my life fell short. I neglected to use my authority to impact my students for Aphrodel. And inevitably, I lost my reward.
Mr. Motivator, I am deeply sorry.
My name is no longer Motivator.
Jaylen gave you a new name.
Yes. Humbled.
Oh. Humbled.
Come, Selfish.
Sages, I'm starting to wonder. Do you believe I truly built up others? Or was I merely using them to build my own success? And when I was mayor, did I rule for Jaylen's glory or my own?
I was your teacher. Jaylen is your judge.
But
all will be revealed in time.
I'm noticing something unusual here. The further forward we walk, the more royal these people look. And the ones on these rows all have crowns and scepters.
We are now in the midst of the underrulers of Jaylen.
It's amazing to see, despite all their loyalty, they have this love.
love in their eyes. When I was mayor, I tried to be loving as well. Perhaps this is the place for me. In fact, wait.
Is something wrong?
The one coming toward us. I believe she's... No, it couldn't be. She's an under-ruler? Sages, she was a secretary to one of our city assembly members. Why does she have a throne?
What do you remember of her?
Well, not much. She never stood out. Definitely the quiet sort. And look at that. The royal guards are bowing to her.
Selfish.
Hello.
Welcome to Affabel. Jalen asked me to speak with you before you come to him. I am now known as Patient, one of Jalen's rulers here in Affabel.
But how could you be here? I'm sorry, I didn't mean it quite like that.
Don't be embarrassed. Deception cannot hide within this hall or the great city. You are only being honest. In Endel, you were concerned with image and reputation. This trains many to speak deceptively. Words are very important, but even weightier are intentions, as they are always apparent here. You will learn this soon enough as you are judged for every word you spoke in Endel.
Every word? Do you mean every single word of every conversation?
Every word. Remember the admonition of Lord Jalen. You can be sure that on the judgment day, everyone will have to give account of every useless word he has ever spoken. Your words will be used to judge you, to declare you either innocent or guilty. Useless words are vain, idle, or careless, all of which are contrary to the nature of Jalen.
I had always understood we would have to give an account for huge lies or great truths we had spoken. But every word, Patient, what am I about to face here?
The ancient writings are clear. Your reward depends on what you say and what you do. Not only will your words and works be examined, but the motives behind them. You will also be judged by the thoughts you embraced. Do not forget Jalen's judgment is righteous, testing the mind and the heart. This is why you are so surprised to see me on a throne. Your judgment of me was according to my accomplishments in light of Endel. Jalen's judgment is in a different light, one which you are beginning to see now, and one you will soon see vividly. Your king awaits you.
Thank you.
Selfish, it is now your time to walk alone before the throne. I will wait here.
Jalen, my king.
You were a ruler of my people in Endel. Are you now worthy to sit upon one of the thrones in Affabel?
Actually, I...
Scribe, how many citizens did Selfish impact for the kingdom?
17.
What is the number of citizens that Patient impacted for my kingdom?
Just over 5,000. My lord.
How could this be? She was a secretary. I was the mayor.
I did not ask how many were influenced, but how many were influenced for the kingdom. Your former teacher, motivator, now known as Humboldt, had more influence on people's lives than even yourself. However, very little of his influence extended into this realm. That is why he is not a ruler in the city. The influence which endures this judgment seat is in accord with my ways and my kingdom. Patient cheerfully gave to the school both financially and through service. Therefore, all who were benefited by the school's ministry were credited to her.
But I gave to the school as well.
Your contributions were motivated by compulsion and care for your reputation. For this, you received your full reward in Endel. Patient, on the other hand, gave out of passion for the kingdom and love for the people. She led a man named Brutal to my service, who in turn personally influenced over 1,000 lives for the kingdom. I renamed him Evangelist. All those lives he built were credited to Patient's account because she led him to my service and she supported the school which trained him.
I remember Brutal, but I never knew.
There were many other ways patient influenced the lives of Endolites for the kingdom. Many little things added together to count for much. She treated everyone kindly, out of a pure heart of love. She was generous to those in need, and she was resolute in her firm stance for the truth. Now, Selfish, it is time to give an account of your stewardship.
True, but that's because I've matured past any selfishness. I'm compassionate.
Oh. That's why you organized that clothing drive for the needy?
Exactly.
Right before the class election.
Exactly.
Well, I'm not sure, but I've always loved cooking.
Start a restaurant. With Jaylen's wisdom, you'll do just fine. Hold on. That was a good thing I did. At least I did that one right.
He's too drunk to move.
Oh, I did something good here as well.
We've got to carry him down the mountain.
If we cross paths with anybody, please. Don't tell them that I was in the company of people who drank Avia. Please.
Oh, selfish.
I forgot about that part. Meantime, for the good of the community and the citizens of Indel, I cast my vote for the Forest Hill Lumber Company. Oh.
Selfish, I can see the good you have done in my name. But now we come to the end. I see much of your life was motivated by your own protection, reputation, and self-seeking motives. And this is my judgment.
Lord Jaylen, I am so sorry. I deserve to be punished for the rest of my life. I deserve loans. I've wasted so much and produced so little in return to account and responsibilities you've given me. I plead for your mercy, Jaylen, but I know I deserve nothing.
Is the name of Selfish found in the Book of Life?
Yes, my lord.
Selfish, you are my servant. You believed in me and submitted to my lordship, even though you wasted so much. I love you,
Lord,
and I welcome you into my kingdom for the rest of your life.
What? Oh, King Jaylen, thank you for your mercy. What amazing love for me.
Selfish, you shall no longer be known by your former name. Behold, I give you a new name. In my kingdom, you shall be known as Unpretentious. I have prepared a residence for you in the flatlands, and your occupation will be a landscaper. Though you will not be a ruler in this city, you will assist me in ruling the outer realms.
With you.
You will not be a leader in the city of Alphabel itself. However, as every other citizen in this city, you will assist me in administering my rule globally. Your specific assignment is to lead through serving and training all the landscapers of the 20 cities of the continent of Ben-Gil.
Thank you, my lord.
Now, come with me. This is a piece of fruit from the tree of life. Take and eat.
This is the most delicious food I've ever tasted. It's almost as if it's making my mind and heart clear and clean. This is the same tree of life spoken of in the ancient writings.
Turn Unpretentious and face your family.
Yes, Unpretentious, you can now hear my thoughts towards you. Thoughts of my acceptance, my delight in you. We will do much together.
Thank you, King Jaylen. Thank you.
Oh, rise, Unpretentious. Welcome, my son.
Hear ye, hear ye. The next to be summoned before the great King Jalen in the Hall of Judgment is Deceived.
That's me. That's me.
You'll be fine.
You're right. Of course. I'll be fine. Thank you, Faithheart. So long, Charity. Sages, it's you, my old teacher. Thanks for the grand old welcome, sir.
Hello, Deceived.
Well, then, off we go.
What? It's getting late. And then, no, hold on. You aren't just going to leave it right there, are you? I mean, come on, what happened to Deceived? And Faintheart, Charity. No, you aren't going to leave me hanging like this. Sages? Sages?
Oh, Peter. This last part of the story may be a little intense for you. Are you sure you're ready?
I'm a war correspondent. Hit me.
Very well, then. I'll hit you. The Hall of Judgment. The place of deepest triumph and yet the darkest tragedy. The place of entry to Athabel, and yet the place of exit to Lone. Of the five, there were now three left to stand before Jalen. What now lay in store for Deceived, Faintheart, and Charity would startle each one of them to their very soul and reverberate through each of their eternities in very different ways.
I think that's the end of this disc.
And there were only two of the episodes.
All right. There you go. Got a chance to get up and run to the bathroom, or maybe you already did that. Anybody got something to say? I've been having goosebumps on that last one, man.
I know what he said.
My hair was standing on end.
Me too. Cry. Wasn't that awesome, Sunday?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, wow.
Is the audio better tonight?
I think so. Very clear.
Okay, good.
Good to hear that. I am not running it through my big TV. I'm just running it through a CD player.
Oh.
Which gives me a different audio source, and you don't have the magnitude of all the sound that's in there. Interesting when you're just listening to audio, how you need to have the highs and the lows in the right spot. It's a very interesting thing.
Yeah.
But that's cool. Roger, go ahead.
Very good.
Very, very good. I agree.
Similarities of Jaden, that was his name, right? That was supposed to be Jesus, right?
Right.
Right. You can follow it, you know. You can identify with the different things. I can anyway.
Yeah.
When he talks about the judgment, and it gives you kind of an insight. Hey, wake up. You know.
That's exactly how I feel about it.
What'd she say, Amanda?
It gives you a wake-up call. Wait.
Oh, yeah.
I think one of the biggest things that I'm seeing this time, I guess I've seen it before, but it's not just your outward actions that everybody else is seeing.
Yeah, he's the discerner of the heart.
It's your motive.
Yeah.
Why are you saying and doing this? And he's just. He's our father. He's training us. But he's got a serious standard that he keeps.
Yeah.
You know, I think, too, that if you're under conviction, thank God for the Holy Spirit.
Oh, my.
You know, put you on conviction when you know you did wrong after you did it. You think, whoops, I should have done. I repent immediately. Now, I know I'm covered with the blood and I'm forgiven, you know, not to ever go and do it again. That's just the way I feel.
Right. Right. That's the way I feel, too. Repent immediately. Matter of fact, Dr. Barclay said he would go see John Osteen, who was his pastor. And Pastor John would tell him something, and he'd say, start giving excuses. He's Mark. He's like, Mark, you're guilty. Just admit it. Repent immediately. And what a loving Father we have that right now in this day, while we're still on this earth, we can still change it.
Yeah.
Hearing this message. It's
right.
Like,
you think of, though, when even up to the end, you know, before Satan and God, Jesus comes together for the fight, you know, the end times, I think of he still has that gap open to save, for them to repent. How merciful is that?
How merciful is that? How merciful is that? I agree.
That, to me, is the most awesome thing. I couldn't ask for a better father. Really, I couldn't.
Begin.
My earthly father was wonderful. You know, he was my stepfather, but he was my dad. You know, he was always there for me, even as a baby. When I was sick, he'd get up and walk the floors with me to help mom out. And that's when doctors would come to the house, you know. And I had a infection in the mastoid gland that could get deadly. And it bursted one night. And the infection, the doctor had me on antibiotics. I was about 2 years old. And it bursted. And there was blood and all that guck coming out of my ear. But by God's grace, though, you know, I'm okay. But it could have killed me if it wouldn't have been treated.
Wow.
Folks didn't have the money. The doctor would give her medicine.
Wow. Wow.
So I would have medicine to take care of it. That's awesome to me.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Very awesome. Sister Phyllis, love you. We're between sessions. Here we go. We've seen independent and selfish.
Yeah.
We've had two judgments. We got three more to go in the allegory. We got new audio. So everybody hang on. Here we go.
The seed was escorted by the royal guard into the great hall of judgment. I walked beside him as we trod along the long aisle toward the throne.
Just look at this place, Sages. Never seen anything like it. So majestic.
Is that Ruthless?
What is he doing here? He was one of the most wicked men in all of Endel.
You may speak with him if you wish.
Yes, thank you. Ruthless?
Ah, hello, deceived. My name was Ruthless, but Lord Jaylen changed my name to Reconcile.
Nice. But you never went to school, and you opposed Jaylen more than anyone I knew.
True. But all along, I hated who I was and what I did. Since I failed to attend school, I never heard about the ancient writings or about the life Jaylen offered. I went for a meal at Charity's restaurant. I had no idea I had only 1 week left before I faced judgment. What?
I know you've been going through some challenging times lately.
That's none of your concern.
Actually, it is. And I was wondering if I could pay for your meal.
Of course. I'll take a free meal.
On one condition.
Always a catch.
That you'll stay and talk with me.
I suppose I can put up with your jabbering for a free meal.
Not jabbering. An honest conversation.
Bring on the food.
Ruthless, I would like to tell you about Jaylen.
Uh-huh. And I would like to tell you about what I want to eat. I was rude. But she was determined. She told me it wasn't too late for me to give my life to Jaylen. As vile as I was, for the first time, I felt hope penetrate my dark soul. Charity said I could be forgiven. unconditionally and accepted as a citizen in Jalen's kingdom when that reality struck me. I bowed my head. I cried. Me, ruthless, right there in the middle of the restaurant. Unbelievable. I was overcome by Jalen's love for me. I accepted his forgiveness, and I pledged the rest of my life to his lordship. Though I was only able to serve him for 1 week in Mendel, I did so with all my heart. I went to those I had oppressed or stolen from and asked their forgiveness. I gave back more than what I'd taken.
And now you're reconciled.
We must move on.
Oh, yes, of course. So long, then, reconciled.
Farewell.
You know, Sages, I feel so much better now. If Jalen can accept Ruthless, surely he'll accept me. After all, I strongly believed in Jalen for such a long time. Much longer than Ruthless. Sages?
You must now approach the throne of Jalen alone.
But... Well?
And I recommend that you bow.
King Jalen, I bow before you.
Deceived. It is time to give an account of your stewardship.
This is amazing. My entire life. I have found that Jalen is the king of great grace. Without his grace, I'm done for. And I don't worry about it that much. After all, Jalen wants us to have a grand time here. That's what forgiveness is for. And I'm counting on Jalen to give me a wondrous name, such as Enlightened or Wise. Oh, I don't want anybody to see this.
Well, hello there. I should like to get to know you. I would say you and I could have a lot of fun, huh?
Please, don't want to see me.
After graduation, I remember several days of parties and celebrations. And then, I slept with a girl, and, well, she became pregnant.
Sounds to me as if you weren't following King Jalen's rules.
He knows I'm not perfect. That's why he's so full of grace. As long as I continue to give him my allegiance and refrain from hurting anyone too badly, it's all going to work out just fine. I have made a mess of things, sir. But please remember, through it all, I believed in you.
Is the name of Deceived found in the Book of Life?
No, my lord.
Deceived, you are guilty of denying me.
Denying you?
You are to be taken to the forsaken land of Lone, to spend the rest of your life in the torment of utter darkness, hopelessness, and loneliness.
This can't. No, this is a mistake. A colossal, horrific mistake. Jalen, I believe in you. You know that. How have I denied you?
Did you not listen when your teachers warned of those who claim they know Jalen, but deny him by the way they live?
But, great king, I attended your school. The sages here can testify to that. I was faithful in all my classes. I was involved in many, many school activities. I even called you Lord.
Why do you call me Lord, and yet you fail to do what I told you? My words have already warned you when I said many will refer to me as Lord, but be denied citizenship in Atherton. For the decisive question is whether they obey my father. Here at the judgment, many tell me, Lord, Lord, we told others about you and used your name. I must reply, you have never been mine. Go away, for your deeds are evil.
But I had faith. I believed in you. According to your word, I should be saved.
Sages, read to Deceived
what you taught him in your class.
From the ancient writings. Dear brothers and sisters, what is the use of saying you have faith if you neglect to prove it by your actions? That kind of faith cannot save anyone. It isn't enough to have faith alone. Faith that fails to show itself by good deeds is no faith at all. It is dead and useless.
Deceived, it is not enough to say you believe. Those who truly believe will exhibit a changed nature and no longer produce the fruit of evil. But you continue to bear the fruit of the Dark Lord Dagon. Evidence that you never truly committed yourself to me from your heart.
What about him back there? The one called Ruthless? I was better than him. How could you let him in and keep me out? You are judging me unfairly.
Am I the one who is unfair, or is it you? You were taught if a wicked person turns away from his wickedness and obeys the law and does right, he shall save his soul, for he has thought it over and decided to turn from his sins and live a good life. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Ruthless followed that path laid out in the ancient writings. You did not.
But I talked to many people about you, constantly. You know this. I even volunteered to teach at your school.
Recite my laws no longer and stop claiming my promises. For you have refused my discipline, disregarding my laws. You see a thief and help him, and spend your time with evil and immoral men. You curse and lie, and vile language streams from your mouth. You slander your own brother. I remain silent. You thought I didn't care, but now your time of punishment has come, and I list all the above charges against you. Bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Get away from me! Stop! You're a wicked tyrant, Jalen! Wicked, dishonest tyrant! No! Satan! You cannot let them do this to me! Stop them, please!
Oh, deceived. The judgment of King Jalen is just and final.
Let go of me! Come on! What's wrong with everybody? I'm not...
Sages.
Yes, my lord.
There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness.
Charity, I think that's him there. Sages.
Charity, faint heart.
I'd heard you were here. Please, tell us, how is independent and selfish and deceived? Sages, what's wrong?
All will be revealed in time.
What do you mean?
Hear ye, hear ye. The next to be summoned before the great King Jalen in the Hall of Judgment is... Faintheart!
Yes, it's my time.
Come, Faintheart.
Farewell, Charity. Goodbye, my friend. Oh, I've heard those doors shut many times today, and every time it unnerves me. And Sages, I see many wealthy people here. How could the rich be in such places of honor?
It is not a matter of riches. It is a matter of the heart.
No! I cannot believe this! That double life! How did he weasel his way in here? I don't understand. Does Jalen know what he did?
All will be revealed in time.
I certainly hope so. There it is. The throne of Jalen. And I see some of my teachers in the stones around him.
It is now time for you to approach the throne alone, Faintheart.
It's all right. King Jalen, my great king.
Faint heart, it is time to give an account of your stewardship.
To tell you how much I appreciate how you participated, class. And I want you to know that all your volunteer work and your extra studies are not going unnoticed. I see you as a leader, Faintheart. You show great promise.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was one of the happiest memories I ever had. Slander has been talking about you? What do you mean? Well, she told the headmaster yesterday that you slept with one of the students.
What?
Well, I heard a rumor that she's applying for the same job as you.
How could she be so treacherous? She was so friendly. Oh, she is going to pay.
Unforgiveness is fertile soil for the root of bitterness. A root that can strangle your heart.
You know, Slander, I don't believe I could ever forgive you.
Faintheart, may I?
Oh, no. I don't want to see this. No. No, this is not right. We shouldn't.
Yes, you're right. We shouldn't.
But I want to.
Come.
This is so humiliating. Allow me to give you a good clue. Since you seem to be having a sudden attack of stupidity, I'll give you two words. One, slander.
Slander?
And two, affair.
You are very mistaken.
There's no mistaking. I saw you two together last night. I gave you everything I had. And this is what you give me in return. And with slander of all people.
And did you ever forgive Double Life?
I'm sorry?
Did you ever forgive Double Life for what he did to you?
Did you see what he did to me? He wrecked my life.
What he did to you was the worst of evil. But that wasn't what wrecked your life. It was your unforgiveness. You were taught at Endel that if you refuse to forgive others, then I would refuse to forgive you.
How could you have allowed a leech like that into the school in the first place?
I never allow more temptation than you are able to bear. You fell, but worse, you never repented.
Me repent? It was Double Life. He should be judged. Billy, hold on. I'm sorry. That is not my place. I know. But King Jalen, please. Please remember how much I committed myself to you. Please.
Is Faintheart's name to be found in the Book of Life?
No, my lord.
No? No? What do you mean my name is not found in the Book of Life?
Faintheart, you are guilty of falling away from righteousness and denying me by treason. And are to be taken to the forsaken land of Lone.
No!
To spend the rest of your life in torment of utter darkness, hopelessness, and loneliness.
No, no, this can't be true. Poor Jalen, I believed in you. This was clearly shown as you looked over my life just now, and I have had a good life to back my beliefs. Yes, my heart became hardened, but that wasn't my fault. It was Slander's fault and Double Life's fault.
Did you forget my warnings through your teachers? Such will be the spread of evil that many people's love will grow cold. But whoever holds out to the end will be saved. You did not endure to the end.
But Lord Jalen, I always believed that once a person was saved, they would always be saved and could never lose that salvation. Even some of the teachers proclaimed this. According to them, no one could pluck me out of your hand.
Yes, this is true. No one can pluck you out of my hand. But I never said you could not walk away. You alone hold that power. Sages,
If people have escaped from the corrupting forces of the world through their knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jalen, and then are again caught and conquered by them, such people are in worse condition at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been much better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than to know it and then turn away from the sacred command that was given them.
I said it would have been better for them to have ever known the way of righteousness, because they are now worse off than before being saved. How could you believe it was impossible to lose salvation? If it could never be lost, then how could they be worse off than before? Why did you listen to teachers who taught contrary to what my word stated? I recorded it carefully, so all could know the way of righteousness. Why did you allow yourself to be deceived? If you had believed what I said, you would have confronted the bitterness in your heart. Instead, because of your false comfort of unconditional security, you allowed that bitterness to grow unchecked. Now you face a judgment that could have been averted.
But I did so much good in Endel.
I clearly stated through my prophet, if righteous people turn to sinful ways and start acting like other sinners, should they be allowed to live? No, of course not. All their previous goodness will be forgotten, and they will die for their sins. Yet you say the Lord isn't being just. Listen to me. Am I the one who is unjust or is you? When righteous people turn from being good and start doing sinful things, they will die for it. Yes, they will die because of their sinful deeds. It is just as it was written. Your goodness and righteous acts are forgotten and will not be credited to you.
But Lord, you said if I confessed you as my Savior, my name would be written in the book of life. How is it possible? My name is no longer there.
Those who endure all the way to the judgment are those who overcome. And I clearly said, he who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. If I stated, I will not erase the name of the overcomer, it is clear that a name can be erased. Otherwise, I would have said, if you confess me as Lord, your name will be forever secured in the book of life.
But how can you send me alone?
Phaedrus, read the ancient writings which have been made known to the citizens of Endel.
A man who strays from the path of understanding comes to rest in the company of the dead.
Bind her hand and foot. Take her away and cast her into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
No.
Many are called, but few are chosen.
How can you do this to me? You treacherous king! You vile, treacherous king! I curse you! I curse you!
Sages, for the sake of those gathered here.
Yes, my lord. From the ancient writings, dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received a full knowledge of the truth, there is no other sacrifice that will cover these sins. There will be nothing to look forward to but the terrible expectation of Jalen's judgment.
Double life! You have been summoned already so you could witness the destruction of one whom I had entrusted to you.
Come now to my throne. Oh, Dan! Guards, bring him to his feet. His double life's name found in the Book of Life?
No, my lord.
Double life. You are guilty of treason, of falling away from righteousness, of becoming a stumbling block. You are to be taken to the forsaken land of Lone, where you will receive the greatest punishment and torment.
Lord, the greatest punishment? But I was a teacher in your school. I gave my life for your cause.
You were a teacher, but did you not read from the books you taught? Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the school, for we who teach will be judged by Jaylin with greater strictness. You caused many of my little ones to stumble and fall permanently. Faintheart is just one example. She was entrusted to your care. I gave you authority to protect her, not to use her for your own purposes. You exploited your influence to satiate your lust and violate her and others. She was already wounded by her sister, and you, who should have brought healing, took advantage of her instead. You corrupted her faith, and now she has been sentenced to Lone. Surely you remember the warning I gave. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung round his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Find him, hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
You will pay, Jaylin!
True and just indeed are your judgments.
Faintheart, stop the blubbering, will you? It's getting on my nerves.
Steve, shut up.
So I'm going to listen to the likes of you. Some kind of teacher you are. You ended up alone, of all places. Hello there, driver. You have any water in this place? I'm thirsty here.
It's useless.
Oh, Mr. Independent, did I ask for your brilliant assessment of the situation? Driver!
I am not your driver. I am a servant of Jaylin, assigned to execute your judgment.
We're all thirsty, you idiot, and we will be for the rest of our days.
You brought me here to this awful place.
I believe you came here on your own accord, my dear.
No, you did this to me. You did this to me.
Go. Getting what you deserve, oh great wise one. Faintheart. Enough.
Something. What is it?
It appears some sort of tower. Or cave.
Those are the caverns of Lone. Our new home. Yeah.
Worse than I ever imagined.
This is what you must have realized.
Out, all of you. Except for you.
Yes, I know.
I hope you die a thousand deaths. The first day.
And farewell to you also.
The gate is closing.
we're going to be in total darkness.
For the rest of our lives.
Watch it! Watch it! Open the gate! Open the gate!
Punishment, the deepest darkness.
Out quickly. I cannot tolerate the stench of this wretched place much longer.
The smell is horrific. It's so silent here.
Yes, and mine is the very last voice you will ever hear.
What? Wait! Come back! Come back! Please! No! No! Come back!
Charity?
Sages!
I'm sorry you had to wait so long.
How is Faintheart?
All will be revealed in time.
Sages?
All in time. Oh, I see you've been reading.
Yes, I've never seen so many wonderful books, such as this one here, the Second Chronicle of Athelbel.
Charity, your king awaits you.
No, no, no. She gets the same treatment as everyone else.
Are you sure?
Go on.
Well, hear ye, the next to be summoned before the great King Jalen in the Hall of Judgment is Charity.
How's that? Much better, thank you. Charity, I believe your name has been called.
All right, then. Oh, Sages, it's magnificent. On the throne.
Yes, that is the throne of Jalen. Come.
These people, the way they're dressed, the way they stand, it's as if they're all kings, queens. And yet their eyes are so kind, so full of love. And excitement. I don't understand, Sages. They're all bowing as we pass by. Why?
All will be revealed in time.
I see so many people I know. Oh, I would love to visit.
Not yet.
Oh, it's ruthless. Oh, please, Sages.
Very well.
Ruthless!
Charity!
No, ruthless. Why would you bow to me?
There is a difference between worship and honor. Only the Lord is to be worshipped. But in this kingdom, we honor those who served us well in Endel and those who rule among us now. We didn't understand the importance of honor in Endel. Charity, thank you.
You're welcome.
If it had not been for your obedience to the king, I would never have been here. I would have been suffering alone at this very moment. I am first and foremost indebted and grateful to the king, but I am also grateful to you. It will be my pleasure to serve and honor you the rest of my life.
I didn't reach out to you in Endel so that you would serve me in return. I did it because I was worried about you.
And because of your heart, you will be greatly rewarded by the king. Jalen delights in those who reach out to others with his love. It was vital that we caught his heart while in Endel, not just his vision. You did both, dear sister, and your heart motives were imparted to me. This is why I reached out so passionately to so many during my last week in Endel. Now I have been rewarded handsomely for my labor, even though it was brief. All because of your service to me.
And I will be glad to serve you for the rest of my life.
You already speak as one who has lived in Athelbel for years.
We live to serve one another in this great city. In fact, those of us who lead are the greatest servants here. We have the heaviest responsibilities, and yet it is our delight. The greatest joy of any citizen here is to serve first our king, then our fellow citizens, especially those who touched us in Endel.
Oh, ruthless, my dear brother.
Charity, my name is no longer ruthless, but reconciled.
What a blessed name.
My dear sister, I'm proud of you. Go now to your king.
I do apologize, Sages.
I accept. I had thought there's something the matter.
Oh, he's so beautiful. So majestic.
You may proceed up the stairway. I will leave you now.
My king.
Charity, my dear servant, welcome to my kingdom. I long for this moment to meet you in person.
Sir, it is I who have longed so greatly for this very moment. You are my king.
I was hungry, and you fed me. Thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you received me in your home. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. In prison, and you visited me.
Lord, but I didn't do any of those things for you.
Whenever you did this for one of the least important of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Charity, it is time now to give an account of your stewardship. You ministered to me by serving my people and obeying my laws. Now as I review your life, I examine each word, deed, thought, and motive of your heart. Everything is revealed. I see your service, your giving to the school, your love for your fellow citizens.
May I help?
I see you declining to take part in careless or inappropriate activities and discussions. And I see the persecutions you receive. Because of your passion for me and my ways, I see your labor to bless others through the restaurant. I see your refusal to speak against your fellow citizens, your refusal to gossip. And yes, Charity, I wept with you in those dark hours of the night when you longed for salvation for the lost.
I had no idea.
There were opportunities you missed, Charity. Errors you made in judgment and in action. Times you missed my voice. And this is my judgment.
Oh, Jalen, please forgive me. I'm sorry.
Rise, Charity. How many lives did Charity influence for my kingdom?
5,183, my lord. A little more than 1/6 of the population of the community.
Lord, how can this be?
Recall in the ancient writings that I promised to multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Your obedience to me enabled you to influence the masses, even though you weren't a recognized leader in the community. The ripple effects of what you did were astounding. As it is written, the benevolent one scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. A life submitted to me will result in a multiplying effect which no citizen is fully aware of until they stand before this judgment seat. For this reason, many did not obey in the small matters. They saw them as insignificant. Yet most often, it is the seemingly insignificant matters which produce the greatest harvest in this kingdom. The key was your obedience, no matter what the circumstances. Is Charity's name found in the Book of Life?
Yes, my lord.
Charity, Do you see the unoccupied throne to my right?
Yes, my lord.
This will be your throne to sit and rule with me for the rest of your life. Come now and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world.
But lord, I'm not worthy to rule. There are so many who are more gifted than I.
You should be a ruler here because of the love you showed me and my people. Your endurance, loyalty, and humility have secured you this honor. For do you not recall my words from the ancient writings? Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Not only shall you rule with me, I've also prepared a glorious home for you on the coast of the great sea near my home in the Regal Center. I know how much you love the water and the sound of waves, and so I've granted your desire and delight. I grant each faithful servant their heart's desires.
I'm overwhelmed.
Charity, you shall be a governor over 10 districts in the city, ruling with 11 other governors. You will work closely with me, along with the other rulers in our city who sit on these thrones. These 77 rulers, my father and I, are the ones who plan, forecast, and oversee all of life in Azabel. You will be one of my trusted advisors and liaisons between my citizens and me. Not only shall you rule with me in this city, but I also give you charge over the 20 cities of the continent of Ben-Gilead in the outer realm, where you shall be prime minister. All those who live and lead there shall report to you. You will only report to me. Bring the crown of the overcomer and the scepter of rulership to me. And now, as I place this crown on your head, I say, well done. You are a trustworthy servant. You have been faithful with the little I entrusted to you, and so now I entrust you with much. And as I present to you this scepter, I declare that you shall no longer be called Charity, for I give you a new name. You shall be called Cherished Overcomer. Or did I not tell all the citizens of Endel? To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the districts and nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter, just as I have received authority from my father. My dear friend and fellow ruler, you may now partake of this fruit from the tree of life.
That's wonderful. It's more than that. It makes me feel so clean inside. And as if everything is new.
Come with me. Cherished Overcomer, turn and face your well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord.
And that, Peter, is the story of the five friends. My five students.
Wow. I don't think I've ever heard a story quite like that.
You've been chosen, Peter, to share this story with others as warning and as encouragement.
I'm sorry. Did you say chosen?
I must go now. I have counsel with King Jalen and the Founding Father.
Wait. Hold on. You work with the king and his father?
I do. And we have worked with each other since the beginning.
Farewell, my young friend. You will do well.
Wait, the sages?
Not the cave again.
Sages! Sages, where are you? Sages!
Where'd he go?
Oh, I wish you wouldn't do stuff like this. Sages!
Maybe he's still in the cave.
What? Wait a minute. Where's the cave? It was right here.
Where's my recorder? Okay. This one is just for my records. I wonder if what I just experienced is going to have any impact on this world. Only the future will tell. As I look out over the rugged terrain of this mountain, I see a solitary tree. A tree that looks as ancient as the rock itself. Wait a minute. It couldn't be.
I'm John Bevere, author of Affabel. I want to take a few minutes to share with you some history as well as insights of the story you just heard. Recently, a great burden came upon me for the vast number of souls racing towards eternity yet unprepared. This number doesn't include non-believers, but Christians as well. After much prayer, I felt a strong leading to write a book on this urgent reality. Its title, Driven by Eternity, Make Your Life Count Today and Forever. Praying about the book, I asked the Lord, how do I communicate to people eternal concepts? His response, tell them a story and teach through it. I thought, of course, that's what Jesus did. So I prayed and meditated on the story's concept. And as I began to write, the Holy Spirit took me to another time and another place in a kingdom called Affabel. After completing it, I shared the story of Affabel with people from various walks of life, both young and old. Each individual was profoundly impacted. We realized the need to professionally produce it into an audio drama, hence what you just heard. In this story, the character King Jalen, he represents Jesus Christ. The King Father represents God the Father. Sages is a type of the Holy Spirit. The Royal Guard, they symbolize the angels of God. The teachers of the school of Endel, they correspond to ministers of the gospel. Dagon, of course, would be Satan. Life in Endel represents the human being's life here on this earth. Affabel reflects the heavenly city of God, and the forsaken land of Alone corresponds to the eternal hell, or more specifically, the lake of fire. Scriptures make clear that every human being, no matter when or where they lived, what race or gender, how great or common, will one day stand before Jesus Christ at his judgment seat. God the Father has turned all judgment over to his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 48 and 49, he who does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him in that last day. So we already know what's going to be spoken at the judgment. That day will not bring any new revelations of truth. Rather, God will measure all things by what has already been spoken in his word. You see, the judgments made on that day are called eternal. That's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2. In other words, the decisions made at the judgment seat will determine how we spend the rest of eternity. A judgment is a decision made after an investigation. There will never be any revisions, changes, or amendments made to the decisions God makes concerning you. Wouldn't it benefit us to know now and live according to the word of God rather than to assume we are and be devastatingly surprised at our judgment. So many people are mistakenly allowing the end of their lives and the beginning of eternity to hasten toward them without an investigation of what awaits them. Unfortunately, some have taken a false hope and concepts which are just not true to the word of God. They think that God will take into account all the good that they've done. They believe if their good deeds outweigh their bad, they'll find favor at the judgment. Others who profess Christianity have thought they will not stand before Jesus as judge because he's their savior. They believe they are exempt from any form of judgment. Perhaps they'll be the ones that are most surprised. You see, there are two judgment seats Scripture speaks of. The first is the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15 states this, "And I saw a great white throne, and I saw the one who was sitting on it. The earth and the sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. And I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were open, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the things which were written in the books, according to what they had done. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." This is where every person will stand who has not received Jesus Christ as their master, or those who have not endured in their faith to the end. In the allegory of Aphabel, this would include independent, deceived, faint heart, and the teacher double life. The character independent represents the person who does not believe in the gospel. If that's you, no matter how good your life is in society's eyes, you will still fall short of God's standard. For Scripture declares that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. As a result of Adam's fall, we were all born with a sin nature. Sin gives Satan access into our lives, and when we're under his reign, our destiny lies with him. Satan's destiny is to burn in the lake of fire forever. Think of it. Never-ending fire, pain, and torment is his fate. It doesn't have to be yours. God saw our need for a Savior, and out of his love for you and me, he sent Jesus, who was fathered by God, and of course his mother was the Virgin Mary, making him 100% man and 100% God. Therefore, he was free from the sin nature all humans are bound to. Though he was God, he stripped himself of his divine privileges and became a man in order to give himself as an offering for sin. When he went to the cross, he took the judgment of our sin on himself to free us from our bondage. He was crucified, paid the price for sins of all mankind. You see, those who are in Christ are no longer subject to the enemy's access into their lives. They are free from the bondage of sin and the snares of the enemy. Now, all who receive him as master are written in the book of life, which means they will be admitted into the kingdom of God for all eternity. He or she will not spend eternity in the lake of fire, which wasn't created for mankind, but rather for Satan and his cohorts. The character deceived in the allegory represents the person who acknowledges Jesus as Lord, but lives contrary to the will of God. Their spiritual DNA is still sinful because there's not been a true conversion. In regard to these people, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, he said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father." Scripture is very clear that there'll be many men and women who think they are saved, but will be turned away from heaven, even though they fully expect to be admitted. These people not only are deceived themselves, but also will lead astray many others because of their misleading, sinful lives. The character faintheart represents the person who genuinely gives their lives to the Lordship of Jesus, but doesn't endure to the end. Scripture warns us of these people by saying the Spirit says clearly, some people will abandon the faith in latter times. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And then Jesus says repeatedly, he who endures to the end shall be saved. The Christian life is not a sprint, but it's an endurance run. To walk away from salvation is not an easy thing to do, but it can be done, and we are told that it will happen with some in these last times. Jesus said he would never leave us or forsake us, but he never said that we couldn't leave him or forsake him. Why would anyone ever want to leave the greatest love relationship in the universe? If you continue in his love and you keep the fear of God in your heart, you'll never permanently stray as Fainthart did in our allegory. Double life represents the minister who wandered in his heart from true service to the king and turned to living for his own success. He now uses the word of God to manipulate people to get his own desires. This person, according to Scripture, will receive the greatest condemnation. In fact, Scripture specifically says twice, it will be the blackness of darkness forever. When writing this drama, I came to the judgment of these individuals and their punishment to the land of loan, and I trembled within myself. I actually wrote this section late one evening, and I couldn't sleep for fearing all those who will eventually one day find themselves in an unspeakable worse situation. It's called the lake of fire, and according to Jesus, it will be the destiny of many. He said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, go through the narrow gate, because the gate to hell is wide, and the road that leads to it is easy. And there are many, not a few, he says, there are many who travel it. But the gate to life is narrow, and the way that leads is hard. And there are few people who find it. While I was lying in bed that night, I reflected back a couple years when I was preaching at a top security prison in South Africa. I remembered walking into that dreadful place, the smells, the revolting living conditions, the cells which had 20 or 30 men with bunks which were inches from each other, or the many horrors that I witnessed. One thing that just really horrified me was the condoms that were hanging on the wall for these men. It was just like a living hell. I had ministered to several prisons in America, but never had I seen such despairing conditions in all my life. Our prisons in America look like country clubs, to be honest with you, in comparison. I seriously couldn't imagine living a week in that vile place, let alone a lifetime. You could see the utter despair in the faces of these prisoners, with the only hope of escaping this place would be death. Yet on the other hand, they were terrified by the unknown reality of dying. They were in a complete state of hopelessness. The truth is, as horrific as that place was, it's beautiful in comparison to hell. At least they had companions and sunlight streaming through a few barred windows. In hell, there are neither companions nor light, except for the fire that is never quenched. It is a place of absolutely utter loneliness and despair and torment. In the lake of fire, there is no relief forever and ever, because souls will be in perpetual anguish. In hell, people can't think to themselves, one day I'll get out of this place. They've received eternal punishment. There will never be a revision made. Remember, God did not create the lake of fire for mankind. He created it for Satan and the fallen angels. No human being needs to go there. I want you to hear me say this again. No human being needs to go there. For Jesus died for all. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 states that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The choice is ours. You may be asking, how then do I get saved? How do I begin to walk a walk of faith? It's really quite simple. If you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins, then all you have to do is repent of your sins and give yourself, your life, completely to him. You must make a decision in your heart that you will no longer live for yourself, but for him, and the rest of your life you will live for him and him only. If you've made that decision, the Bible says all you have to do is confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is your Lord, and you will be saved. I'm getting really excited just thinking of it. If you've not done this, let me pray with you now before I go any further in my commentary of Aphabel. Pray this out loud with me and make sure you sincerely mean every word. I mean, if you have to alter the words just a little, that's fine, but just make sure you pray with your heart. Let's pray together. God in heaven, I confess that I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you, and I need a Savior. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. I believe with all my heart that he was raised on the third day, conquering the price of death for me. I confess him as my Lord and Savior. I repent of living for myself and give my life to you, Heavenly Father, completely. From this moment forward, I will serve Jesus Christ as my Lord and Master. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Congratulations. Man, I wish you were here with me right now. I would just give you the biggest hug, because you have just come into the family of God. You are a child of the King now. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we die. We literally die. The Bible says that old man is dead, and we become a brand new creature. We're spiritually reborn, as children of the living God, and we are now in his family, in his kingdom. If you prayed that prayer from your heart, you need to do four things immediately. First, tell another Christian you've given your life to Jesus so they can support you and help you grow as a believer. Second, begin to read the Bible so that you can feed your heart the Word of God. Because, you know, as a baby, you know, you wouldn't throw a baby out in the street and say survive, would you? No, the baby's got to have milk in order to grow, then food to be able to grow. Well, the Word of God is your spiritual food. That is why the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Third, find a Bible-believing church and begin to attend it faithfully. Don't miss a service. Don't let the enemy. You know what's really amazing is some of the services that God has done the most greatest profound work in my life, I kept thinking before that service, oh, I don't need to go tonight. I'm tired. I've got something to do tomorrow. Never miss a service. And I want you to go to every one of those services expecting to meet with God. It's a divine appointment. It's not just a church service. It's a divine appointment for you and God. And then fourth, you need to be publicly water baptized in your new church as an act of obedience and testimony of your old sin nature being washed or actually destroyed and your new life beginning completely submitted to Jesus Christ as Lord. I'd like to ask you to contact our ministry either by phone or email and tell us that you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We want to be able to rejoice with you and celebrate your newfound faith in Jesus Christ, that you are a child of God and you've been admitted into the family. Our web address is this. It's messengerinternational.org. Or you can call our offices at 1-800-648-1477. We'd love to hear from you about how you've been saved listening to Affabel. Now, let's continue in our discussion by turning our attention to the Christian's judgment. There are many Christians who believe because they've accepted Jesus as Savior, they'll never stand before him as judge. This is completely erroneous. Listen to me carefully. Our response to the cross determines where we will spend eternity. However, the way we live as believers determines how we will spend eternity. The white throne judgment is where unbelievers are judged. However, the other judgment seat Scripture speaks of is for the believers, and it's called the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10 says this, "We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Now, before I continue to read, let me make this point clear. Paul is talking specifically to Christians here. For he says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When a sinner leaves his body, he's not with the Lord, he's in hell. But let's continue to hear what he says about the believers. "Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad." Let me read verse 10 from you out of the Amplified Bible because it is absolutely amazing. It's a bit more thorough. I love it. Paul says, "For we must all appear and be revealed as we are before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive his pay according to what he's done in the body, whether good or evil, considering what his purpose and motive have been, what he's achieved, been busy with, and even given himself and his attention to accomplishing." Wow, that's amazing. At the believer's judgment, we'll give an account of how we lived as Christians. Not only will our work be judged, but our words, our thoughts, our motives, and even our intentions. This judgment can be broken down into two major categories. First, our involvement in building the kingdom of God. Second, how we built individual lives, which certainly would include our own. In regard to building other lives, our influence upon them. In regard to building our own life, how we cooperated with God's grace in developing Christ-like character. Our life will be thoroughly examined and we'll either be rewarded or we'll suffer loss. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15 states, "Each one's work will become clear for the day will declare it." The day in Scripture always speaks of judgment day. "For the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he himself will be saved, yet as through fire." Did you hear that? He'll be saved, yet as through fire. And Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, "To him who overcomes, and I hope I'm speaking to a lot of overcomers out there, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Now, that is a huge range. Massive. Anywhere from having everything we did burned up all the way to reigning right beside Christ forever and ever. Wow, I just have to stop and let you think about that just for a moment here. The New Testament tells us that this life is a vapor. If the Apostle James, who penned these words, lived today, he would have probably said it like this. This life is zero in time compared to eternity. So what we do in this zero time determines our eternal future. Again, for believers, it's not where we're going to spend eternity, for the cross determined that, but rather how we'll spend it. If people prepared for life or retirement here on earth, the way they've been preparing for their eternal future, they would be very concerned. No, to be honest with you, they'd be scared. Do you recall in our epic tale of Aphabel how Selfish, along with the others he met in the back parts of the Great Hall, regretted how they wasted their short time in Endel? A good part of their 5 years in Endel was spent for their own desires and benefits rather than giving themselves entirely to the will of Jalen. They would now face the rest of their lives living far below their potential. Each had the opportunity to work and live closely to the king himself, even to reign beside the king in the city for the rest of their lives. They may have enjoyed the brief time following their graduation from school. However, their lives in Endel determined how they were going to spend the rest of their time. As sobering as this story's lesson is, it doesn't come close to comparing to eternity. So let's try another scenario. Try imagining you're given one day, and how you spend that single 24-hour period determines how you're going to spend the next 1,000 years. Now try to imagine 1,000 years. That would date back before the birth of the United States of America, before Christopher Columbus set sail to discover the New World, even before the reign of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. Okay, 1,000 years is a long time. The rewards, the positions you would hold, the job you would do, the people you work with, where you live, all these things for 1,000 years would be determined by how you spend that one single day. Do you think that you would give it your best? How would you live? Would obeying the word of God take absolute precedence? Would you seek to influence people's lives for the kingdom? Yet that's nothing in comparison to what we're discussing here. For one day divided by 365,000 days, now that's the equivalent of 1,000 years, is still not zero. It's a finite number. So let's go further. Let's say the way you spend that single day, okay, so just the next 24 hours, will determine how you spend the next 1 million years. Man's only been on the earth about 6,000 years. So this would be over 150 times longer than man's been on the earth. That in itself is almost unfathomable. So no matter how long we live on this earth, our time here compared to eternity is exactly zero. Could this be why the Apostle John tells us in 2 John chapter 1, verse 8, watch out for yourselves so that you do not lose the prize for which we have been working so hard. Be diligent so that you will receive your full reward. You know, I just feel like I got to read this again. Listen carefully. This is 2 John chapter 1, verse 8. John says, watch out so that you do not lose the prize for which we've been working so hard. Be diligent so that you will receive your full reward. Could this also be why the Apostle Paul tells us with such urgency to live in a way to receive our maximum reward? In his letter to the Corinthians, he tells us that anyone who competes in athletics does so to win. And then he says to all of us, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, you also must run in such a way that you will win. All athletes practice strict self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Did you hear that? An eternal prize. So I run, he says, straight to the goal with a purpose in every step. I'm not like the boxer who misses his punches. I discipline my body like an athlete. I train it to do what it should. We are to run this life to win. In order to win, we must develop discipline and self-control and live with a purpose. We are not competing against others, only ourselves. And our goal is to be well-pleasing to Jesus in everything we do. I want you to listen to Paul's focus of his life. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, he says, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize. Then at the end of his life, he says of himself in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, the time of my departure is at hand. I have finished the race. So he said, I finished my race. And now listen to again what he says to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. He says, run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. Jesus himself says to all of us in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 11, I am coming soon. Keep safe what you have so that no one will rob you of your victory prize. Wow, I want to say that again. I'm coming soon. Keep safe what you have so that no one will rob you of your victory prize. So much is at stake. We can't take lightly our entrusted time here on earth. People's eternal destinies are dependent on our obedience to the plan of God. It is his will that all should be saved and conformed to the image of Jesus. He doesn't want anyone left behind. An entire generation was lost in the wilderness after coming out of Egypt. They had one of the greatest leaders of all time, and that was Moses, but they still failed. We can have magnificent leaders, but it's up to all of us as a generation of believers to fulfill the plan of the King. He has decreed this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come in Matthew's gospel, the 24th chapter, the 14th verse. So let's not miss our assignment. It's time. The season's upon us, and he's at the door. If we don't fulfill our destiny, then God will have to raise up another generation like he did with Joshua's to complete his will, for he has already decreed that his house will be full. All it takes is all of us doing our part and multiplying what he's entrusted to us. Don't be discouraged and don't see your part as insignificant. Don't lose your passion. Don't lose sight of the heavenly vision made clear in the New Testament. Not only are others in your generation counting on you, but your eternal destiny awaits you. You can succeed by utterly depending on his grace because he's so faithful. I appeal to you as fellow citizens of the kingdom of God. Fulfill your calling and make your election sure. Run your race fully to the end. You'll look back 10 million years from this moment and you'll rejoice that you did. You cannot be too committed to the will of God. So run your race to win. In closing, I want to pray with you. Let's believe God together for his grace to fulfill his desired plan for your life. So let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for saving me through your Son, Jesus Christ. I've heard your word on the importance of fulfilling your will in this earth. I ask you to show me what specifically you've called me to do in this life. Not only do I ask for your will, but for your grace to accomplish it. I passionately desire to fulfill my destiny in Jesus Christ. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. As final words of encouragement, I want to leave you with one of Paul's earnest prayers for all the saints, and it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. He says, may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow more and more and become as great as our love is for you. In this way, he will strengthen you, and you will be perfect and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all who belong to him. May God richly bless you. It has been an honor to present to you the epic tale of Aphabel.
Aphabel, Window of Eternity. From the book, Driven by Eternity, by John Bevere. Our cast included Townsend Coleman, Barry Denon, Julianne Busher, Keith Ferguson, Mark Christopher Lawrence, Bang Spees, Aaron Torpy, Sean Donellan, Bob Hoos, Kim Troby, Diane Ingolia, and John Reese Davis as King Jalen. Our executive producer was John Bevere. Produced and directed by Ellie Bishop and John Fornoff. Associate producer, Bob Hoos. Creative consultant, Mark Andrew Olson. Music by John Campbell. Our sound designers were Alan Hurley, Gap Digital, and John Dorick, with assistance from Nathan Hubler. Adapted for audio drama by John Fornoff. This has been a presentation of Messenger International, a ministry of John and Lisa Bevere. Aphabel, Window of Eternity.
Well.
So wow, everyone.
There. There. How's everybody doing?
doing fine.
Did you just get goosebumps when they were going into heaven?
Got hot.
I'm telling you right now, that puts it right out there. I love it. I love it. Go ahead, Sunday. Well, Brother Roger, you got something you going to say?
I love the word.
Delete that one, Facebook.
No, I was just thinking about the whole thing in general. That the way he broke it down towards the end and explained different things to people so they understood exactly what the characters in their parts was, I thought that was quite interesting. You know, it helped you, give you a better insight, you know. And it's true. Apostle Paul said it. We run a race, but we run for the prize, not competition against this one or that one. It is it's what you want to do for the Lord.
There is no competition in this kingdom except with you and I in competition for ourselves being the best us we can be. That is all it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I got the next teaching. You guys ready for more or have you had enough?
Does that mean 4 more hours?
45 more minutes.
Oh, shucks.
And this is the actual teaching, him teaching.
Yeah, this is him teaching.
Video. I'm making it funny.
Yeah, you did. Jalen was represented Jesus. No, God.
Yes.
Yeah, God.
Sages was representing Jesus. Well, I don't know, because, well, anyways. I think this would be a good thing to buy and send to relatives. I think this would be an excellent gift. If you have Christian kids to put in their home, send it to your relatives, send it to your friends that are Christians, because it really clears it up. At the end, you've heard the story, and then John goes into it. It's like, wow, it just makes it so plain. And I think it's a great door opener. I remember when it first came out, I think I sent a set of these audio of Affabel to every one of my brothers and sisters for Christmas.
Did you?
I think so. And it's a powerful, 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 powerful lesson in our lives. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Well, here we go. I'm gonna move my camera. Somebody else talk for a minute. And I'll turn this off so you don't get seasick while the ship is moving. This is what, wait, maybe I should turn my camera back on. Don't worry, Phyllis. This is what it's gonna be like here in a few days for you.
Pastor, you would not send that to a
non-Christian? Oh, yeah, send it to a non-Christian, too.
Amen.
Or to a Christian, because there's a lot of Christians that believe a bunch of false doctrine that's going to cost them their eternity if they don't get it fixed. And none of us want that for those who we know who think they're believers and they're not. And that,
so, get this.
Go ahead.
How would you get this?
Just go to Messenger International. I'll put a link in.
Thank you much.
You betcha. Everybody ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Here we go.
You will not be judged on what you did. You will be judged
Write down lots of questions for the end.
I want us tonight, we're going to go to two places in your Bible to save time. First of all, let's start out in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews the 6th chapter, and if you want to find Luke 16, do that. And that'll save us some time because we're going to flip right over there to Luke 16 here in a little while. But we're going to start in Hebrews the 6th chapter. Welcome to the second hour of our curriculum on Driven by Eternity, making your life count today and forever. How many of you want to make your life count forever?
Amen.
Amen. You know what? I would rather my life count forever than for my life to count temporarily. You know what I think of when I think of that? You remember when John the Baptist was born? What did the angel say at his birth? The angel said to Zechariah before he was born, actually before he was conceived, the angel said he should be great in the sight of God. It is one thing to be great in the sight of man. It is another thing to be great in the sight of God. If I had to choose between being great in the sight of man and great in the sight of God, which one would you choose? You got it. That's the one I would choose. Right. Amen? And that's what this course is all about. Now, the next 4 hours or lessons, we're going to be focusing specifically on the truths revealed in our allegory, chapters 2 and 3, of the judgment of independent, deceived, faint heart, and double life. So this is the judgment of the unbelievers. Then for the remaining 7 lessons, or 2/3 of the book, I think it is, a little bit less than 2/3, we're going to focus on the believer's judgment. Now, in our allegory, Jalen represents Jesus Christ. The King Father represents Almighty God the Father. Dagon, it represents Satan. Endel is an individual's life on the earth. Aphabel is the heavenly city of God. And the forsaken land of Loam represents the lake of fire, where every individual without the saving grace of Jesus Christ will spend eternity. Are you following me? Now go with me to Hebrews the 6th chapter. 6th chapter, please. Hebrews chapter 6. And I'm going to read here from the first verse. Paul writes, therefore, leaving the discussions of the elementary, everybody say elementary, principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation, everybody say foundation, of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Everybody say eternal judgment. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified. The Amplified says, let us not again be laying the foundation of eternal judgment and punishment. These are all matters which you should have been fully aware of long, long ago. Did you hear that? Did you notice that Paul, the apostle, in this scripture says one of the elementary or foundational doctrines of Christ is what? Eternal judgments and punishments, correct? Are you following me? Now let's talk about elementary or foundational. The dictionary says that elementary means this, constituting the basic, essential, or fundamental part. Well, how do we understand elementary? Look at elementary school. What do you get in elementary school? You get the very basic tools, the foundational tools that's going to help you to further your education, whether you go on through high school, whether you go on just through a bachelor's degree, whether you go on to a doctorate, whether you go on to a PhD, PhD, or a mister. Are you following me? The elementary is where you get the basic tools to move on. Can you imagine building your education without having the knowledge that you get from elementary school? In other words, in elementary school, you learn how to read, you learn how to write, you learn how to add, you learn how to subtract, you learn how to divide and multiply. Can you imagine building your education without knowing how to read? Come on, talk to me. There's no way. You can't do it. Are you with me? So what you get in elementary school is absolutely essential to build a healthy, proper education. So Paul comes along and says one of the elementary doctrines of Christ is eternal judgments and punishment. But you know what I have found? In 23 years of ministry, most believers are not fully aware of eternal judgments and rewards. And you know what? Paul said these are things you should have been aware of long, long ago. So this is the thing. What kind of church is being built, especially in America? Can you imagine building a house with no foundation? Can you imagine building an education with not knowing how to add or not knowing how to write? That's what we've been doing in the church. And I'm going to show you in these next 12 lessons why we have a church right now that is out of balance, that is not strong, that cannot stand up against the sin of society and the influences of society, because we have not laid the foundation. We've not given the elementary school education. Are you with me? Are you following me? Now, I remember, you know, earlier this year when I was praying about writing this book, and the Lord started dealing with me. He said, son, you've got to write on this. I mean, it was so strong in prayer. Every single day I'd go out and pray, and the Lord was like, you must write this book. You must write this book. And I thought, how do I communicate to a generation of people the truths of eternity, the truths of eternal judgments and rewards? Because notice the writer says, one of the elementary doctrines is eternal judgments and rewards. Now, you got to remember what I said last lesson. Eternal judgment means the judgments that are made at the judgment seat are going to last forever. There's never going to be an alteration. There's never going to be an addendum. There's never going to be overruling of those judgments. Are you following me? How do I communicate to a generation of people that lives in a temporary world the reality of eternal judgments that will never, ever end? And the Lord began speaking. He said, what did I do? He said, I told stories. And so I thought, yeah, that's what I need. That's what I should do. And so the Lord started putting my heart to write a story. Now, I'm not a storyteller. I'm not much of a storyteller. But I started writing a story, and I'm telling you, it was amazing. I couldn't stop writing it. And I remember when I got to the part of the judgment of deceived, the judgment of independent, the judgment of faint heart and double eye, when they were exiled to the desert of Lone, and they were in this metal building for the next 120 years of their life. I'm going to tell you something. It riveted me. I had preached 3 times on a Sunday. I was flying home. My assistants were sound asleep, and I couldn't stop typing. On the plane, they were sound asleep, and I couldn't stop typing. We get home at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I can't sleep because of thinking of those people being exiled to that building in that God-forsaken land of heat and suffering and darkness for the next 120 years of their life. And while I was laying in bed, I started thinking about the time that I visited a prison in South Africa. A few years back, I was in South Africa, and I was asked to visit a prison. And I'll never forget, you know, when I walked into that prison, it was a high-security prison. Most of those guys were in there for murder or rape or something, and almost everybody in there was in there for life. And I walked into that prison, and you talk about a place of utter, utter hopelessness. I have never seen such utter hopelessness. I mean, it was filthy. It stunk. I walked into the sleeping quarters where those guys slept, and they had bunk beds that were that far apart from each other, condoms hanging on the wall of this all-male prison. And you should have looked at the faces on these men. There was absolute utter hopelessness because these guys were in there for life. And the only people that had any kind of hope on their faces were believers. There was absolutely pure hopelessness on everybody else. And I'm telling you, it was one of the roughest things I've ever experienced, because I'm going to tell you, that prison made our prison. I've been in top security prisons in the United States. Okay? I have been in them. I preached in them. Our prisons look like country clubs compared to that place. And yet I started thinking, you know, those guys were sitting there thinking, you know, one day I'll die and get out of here. But then I started thinking, people that are sentenced to hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, don't ever get to say that. They don't ever get to say, one day I'll get out of here. And the thing that really, really started weighing on my mind that night where I couldn't go to sleep is Jesus said it's the majority of humanity, not the minority, that are going to it. Because if you look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, this is in the today's English version, it says, go in through the narrow gate, because the gate to hell is wide, and the road that leads to it is easy, and there are many who travel it. But the gate to life is narrow, and the way that leads to it is hard, and there are few people who find it. So according to Jesus, the majority of the people are going to hell. Are you with me? Now, Jesus discussed hell frequently. Do you know what I discovered? I don't know if you've ever discovered this. He talked about hell far more than he talked about heaven. So he obviously didn't see that it was a lack of compassion talking about hell. So why aren't we doing it more from our pulpits? I had to work a whole lot harder to find out about heaven than I did about hell, because he talked about hell a lot more. Now, there are several names given to hell in Scripture. Some of the names are Sheol, Hades, the grave. Then there's the permanent hell called the lake of fire or Gehenna. Now, I want to say this. Hell is a real place. It's not figurative. Okay? Like our society has endeavored to communicate, it is a very real place. In fact, in Numbers, the 16th chapter, you will find out that there were three families that were literally thrown into hell alive. The earth opened up and swallowed them physically into hell. If you look at the New Testament, you'll find the Antichrist and the false prophet. Both of them were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. So they just didn't go there with their souls. Their whole bodies were hurled into the lake of fire. Are you with me? Go with me to Luke's Gospel, the 16th chapter. The next three lessons are going to be hard. If you don't keep before you that an elementary doctrine of Christ and eternal judgments and rewards, you might faint in the next three lessons. You may say, why am I listening to this? I'm going to tell you why, because it's a foundation, and I'll explain it to you right after that, why you need this foundation. And I'm going to show you scripturally why you need it. Can you say amen? So just remember, this is part of it. Jesus talked about it a lot. In Luke's Gospel, the 16th chapter, the 19th verse, we read, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid in his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, which was the holding place for the Old Testament saints, because Jesus had not yet sprinkled his blood upon the mercy seat of God. The rich man also died and was buried. Now, before I go any further, I want to make this very, very clear. Sometimes people look at this and think it's a parable. This is not a parable. This is a true story. You say, John, how do you know that? Because whenever Jesus told parables, he never used certain individuals. He always said there was a man. But this parable, he talks about a certain rich man, and he also gives the name of Lazarus. You never find Jesus in his parables giving names to people in his stories. Are you following me? You will also notice that he mentions Abraham by name, the person Abraham, who we know by name in this story. So this is not a parable. Jesus is telling of an actual incident that he saw. Verse 23, and being in torments, okay, in the today's English version, it says in great pain, and being in torments or great pain in Hades, that's hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Okay, he was in torment. Other translations use the word great pain, agony, or anguish. Now, I want you to notice that he recognized Abraham and Lazarus, and they recognized him. Did you see that? He was able to look into Abraham's bosom at a great distance away and recognize Abraham and recognize Lazarus, the beggar who he didn't pay a lot of attention to. He recognized them, and they recognized him. You know what that tells me? People are very much human beings in hell and very recognizable. Are you following me? They still have their, now listen to me, they still have their reasoning facilities. They still have their emotions. They still have their wills. They still have their physical features because he was able to be recognized by Abraham. Are you with me? They still have their senses. This man could see and hear and feel the pain. He was thirsty. Isn't that true? So they still have senses. They can still touch, they can still smell, they can still feel, can still taste. can still hear, can still see. They still have some form of flesh because he wanted his tongue cooled. Isn't that true? Because Jesus says over and over that the worms will eat their flesh nonstop. So they've got some form of flesh. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus says that both body and soul are eternally destroyed in hell. So he doesn't say just the soul is destroyed. He says the body and the soul is eternally destroyed in hell. Also notice the rich man was pleading for mercy. Do you see this? Hell is a place of no escape forever. There's never any escape. Okay? No one will ever come from the outside to bring comfort, though it is greatly longed for. And this seems to never really sink in to its inhabitants.
Wow.
Abraham had to remind him of the gulf. He says, there is a great chasm separating us. Anyone who wanted to cross over to you from here to bring comfort is stopped at the edge, and no one from there can cross over to us. Now let's keep reading, please. Look at verse 25. But Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus his evil things. But now he was comforted, and you are in torment. Great pain, another translation says. Look at verse 27. And he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he can testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. You ever heard the saying, misery loves?
Oh, no. Focus.
Declare your work now. Abraham. Command you.
That they wouldn't come to that place. Make it look like there was going to be parties.
Oh, no.
Action. He didn't want his brother to hit it with the fraction. Mr. Love's company. There's no company, ain't no parties, no fellowship, no nothing in hell. Are you with me? It's a place of absolute loneliness and hopelessness. It is also a place of eternal remembrance. And this, I personally believe, is one of its greatest torments.
Take the disk to the computer store. See if you can refinish it. Come on, I declare right now, work. Work.
Sir Abraham, if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But Abraham said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rises from the dead. There is an absolutely powerful truth. Extraordinary experiences or supernatural experiences are not what it takes to get a person converted to Jesus Christ and to obey God. Extraordinary experiences are not powerful enough to get a person delivered from hell. It takes the word of God.
Wow.
I remember when I was a young man, I remember when my dad took me to some lesson, and I was very much of a sinner, and I walked.
You walked out of the theater going, oh, my Lord.
I just swallowed those guys alive in the hell, you remember?
Wow. My disc must have something on it that is causing it to skip.
Absolute supernatural experiences. I mean supernatural experiences that cause your hair to stand up. Yet those guys weren't serving Jesus. Want to know why? Only the word of God can get you born again. On the other hand, everybody say, on the other hand, when the word is preached, testimonies or experiences that complement the word are greatly beneficial. That's why I always like to give experiences and stories to complement. That reminds me of a very good friend of Lisa's and mine. I remember when I was in his church. And we were in his house after a service. A couple years younger than me.
Well,
he'd been dead for 30 minutes, but they still tried to revive him. And I'll never forget him looking at us, and I'll never forget the presence of God that came into that place when he started telling us this story. It was amazing. But he said, John and Lisa, he said, when I left my body, it was like taking your hand right out of a glove. He said, all my senses were completely intact. He could still see, could still hear, could still feel. He said, all my senses were intact. He said, and when I came out, he said, I began to go into the earth. And he said, the darkness was so dark. He said, I felt like I was wearing it. He said, if I would have taken my hand in front of my face and done this, I couldn't have seen a thing. He said, I have never seen darkness that dark. He said, the fear was indescribable. He said, I have no way of going through because there's no way to describe it on this earth. He said, I thought the fear couldn't get any worse. But he said, the further I went down, the worse it got. And he said, I heard myself screaming, what am I going this way for? I'm a Christian. He said, John, my mom and dad were both born again, but he said that I was a believer. He said, but I felt I was a Christian. And he said, I was going into that darkness. And he said, then I heard the screams. And he said, you know how there are some screams and then there's other screams? And he said, yes, other screams cause the blood in your veins to freeze. He said, that was the screams that I was hearing. And he said, I came to the entrance of what he said I knew was hell. I knew it was hell. And he said, a being with scales grabbed me. And he said, I began to fight with it. And he said, all of a sudden, a voice spoke and said, let him go. And the being said, no, he's mine. And the voice spoke and said, let him go, he's mine. And he said, the being let me go. And then he said, I woke up and I was biting the thumb of the doctor that was trying to resuscitate me. And he said, my mom and my dad were praying, and this is what they were praying. God, if you give our son's life back to us, we will give him to you forever. And now that man's been in the ministry ever since. That's hell. It's a real place. There have been people that have experienced it. Lazarus and this rich man literally experienced that place, and Lazarus could see him there, and Abraham could see him there. Are you following me? Now, what my friend experienced, what this rich man experienced, was the temporary hell. Everybody say temporary. That's called Hades, all right? Hades is temporary holding hell before the judgment seat. That is not the final hell. The final hell we will find in the book of Revelation. Go to Revelation, the 20th chapter, please. So in the scripture, if you want to write this down, Hades or the grave in the scripture refers to the temporary hell. Gehenna or the lake of fire refers to the permanent hell. And I will show you this in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and we will talk about this later, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them, and I saw the dead, the small, the great, standing before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead which were judged according to their works, by which the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead. So there's the temporary hell. Do you see that? Death and Hades. You see that? Delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. So the temporary hell itself is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Do you see this? This is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible is very clear that the people will be tormented there day and night forever and ever. All right? There's some people who think that that ceases, but it doesn't. And that's very clear in Scripture. There is a woman who's very close friends with Lisa and I, and she is a third-generation minister. And I want to talk about her grandmother, Ephrosyne. Ephrosyne was a young Greek girl, and she was born with just a desire to know God. And every time she started talking about God with family or friends, she was met up with a lot of scorn, and she was met up with even persecution. And here she was. She wasn't even a believer. She just wanted to know about God. She thought there was a God, and she didn't know him. So one day she was in the town square doing a Greek folk dance. This is in the nation of Greece. And she heard an audible voice. And the audible voice spoke to her and said, seek the eternal dance. When Ephrosyne heard that, she started asking her friends, did you hear that voice? Nobody knew what she was talking about. So she left the dance, and she began to run home. As she ran home, a great burden started to come on her. A huge burden she felt like she was carrying on her back. She ran into her home, up into her room, and when she went into her room, she collapsed on the floor and she began to weep. She wanted that voice to speak to her. Who was it? She had no idea who it was. All of a sudden, her room just disappeared, and she found herself at Golgotha, and there was Jesus hanging on the cross, blood dripping off of him. Okay? Then, as she's looking at the Lord being tormented on the cross, she hears screams off in the distance. She turns and looks, and there's a great pit or chasm. And in there is an ocean of fire. And she hears and sees multitudes of people cursing God and screaming unrelentlessly in this fire. All of a sudden, a hand grabbed her by the head and began to push her into that chasm and said, this is where you belong. Are you following me? She started screaming. And the hand released her. Form, but not on his face. She saw him write something and look. Was her name. She didn't realize it was the Lamb's book of life. Jesus looked at her and said,
wow.
We're going to pour gasoline on you, burn you. Okay? Ephrosyne did not believe her sister. Obviously, though, her sister.
So she's very bad. They told her the next day that they were going to pour gasoline on her and burn her if she didn't denounce her faith. And in so doing, she fled, and God took her to another family and raised her up.
This is the second death. Now, let me say this. Sulfur, everybody say sulfur, is a non-metallic substance which burns with great heat and produces an unpleasant smell. In fact, you know what scientists say? The stuff, the burning.
Huh.
Right.
No. Actually, I'm going to read you Revelations 21, verse 8. It says, but the cowards who turn back from following me, that would be Jesus. And those who are unfaithful to me, and sulfur, this is the second death. Now, let me say this. Sulfur, everybody say sulfur, is a non-metallic substance which burns.
Wow. Well.
Maybe we need to go back.
To first show this.
It's all right.
working on it, guys.
The agony and the torment of that place. But that person told me that there were worms that were eating the people, and the worms would eat their flesh, and it would be almost like their flesh would grow right back on them, and it would continue to eat. And she said the worms were huge. Are you starting to see that I'm describing to you an unimaginably horrific place? I said, are you beginning to see that? But now this is the thing I want you to understand. Hell was not created for human beings. Go with me, please, to Matthew 25, and I will show you. Hell was not created for human beings. Say that with me. Hell,
hell
was not created.
Was not created
for human beings.
For me.
I show you who it was created for. Look at Matthew 25, verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You know who the hell was prepared for? The devil and his angels. Now, in the parable, you will remember that Jalen sentenced Independence to the land of Lom. And Independence's last plea to Jalen was this. But Jalen, you are merciful. You are a loving judge and a merciful judge. How can you sentence me there for 120 years? And Jalen's reply to him was this. I am a loving judge. I am a merciful judge.
Wow, that's why we got
the ancient Lord Dagon.
Yeah.
To enter into the city, all the innocent inhabitants of the city. He said, but I am also a just judge. And he said, so if I gave you chose Dagon's nature, then I would be unjust. And he said, that I am not. So you have to understand something, folks. The lake of fire wasn't created for human beings. It was created for the devil and his angels. However, if God was to sentence mankind to a different punishment, then he would be unjust.
He would be
because
unjust.
He would be giving Lucifer something more than what he gave man.
Yeah.
Are you following me? And if he allowed people with the nature of Lucifer into heaven, he would pollute the entire city of heaven. So he is both merciful and he is just. Jesus never, ever came to condemn us. He came to save us from something that we put ourselves in. We put ourselves, as mankind, under the rule of Satan by Adam's disobedience.
There's
Pastor. He said, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and their children forever. Someone may say, but John, I have not kept the commandments. That's right. The Bible says,
wow. Well, we'll have this fixed by tomorrow night. All right. We're going to have to do, guys, because there ain't no sense keep sitting here when it ain't working. And we're down to the last section anyways. So we might as well get over here like this, get ourselves ready for communion, and I'll pull out the book and give you the last couple verses that he's given here. And we'll shout glory, hallelujah, and I'll find a place tomorrow to shine all my disc up so that there is no interruption like this right here.
I still love the word.
I still love the word. Amen, Roger. Amen. It's very powerful, isn't it?
Amen, brother.
It's very, 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 very powerful. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, so let me grab the book here, and I'll give you the last couple of verses that he gave us. Now, that way everybody has a chance to write these verses down. Unimaginable torment. That one was Revelation 21, verse 8. Then he talks about the second death. Hang on just a second. Yeah, there it is. The second death, and that's found in Revelation 20:10, that says they will be tormented forever and ever. And then Jesus said in Matthew 25:46, that they will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That's Matthew 25:46. The word is everlasting punishment. It never goes away. It'll be punishment every single day, every single day, every single day. That is a serious thought, isn't it? Very, very, very serious stuff. Everybody pause just a minute.
Okay, I missed the verses that you said to be able to...
All right.
I got... Oh, were you getting them out of the book?
I was getting them out of the book, yeah. I just got to give them a little more height on my light here, so I don't have glowing eyes. I don't mind having a glowing face. I have a problem with glowing eyes. There we go. Much better. Now, don't worry. We're always overcomers. So then you got Mark 9, verse 47. If your eye causes you to stumble and sin, pluck it out. It's more profitable and wholesome for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell. Now, Jesus isn't talking about dismemberment. He's talking about severity of getting yourself in order in God. Like, get your stuff together and then getting serious about it. I got to get a little more distance to myself here. Feel like I'm right up on it. Now, listen to this out of a different translation. If your eye makes you lose your faith, take it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than to keep both eyes and be thrown into hell where the worm eats them and they never die. If you have, let's just use the simple term of if your eye is causing you to lust, don't pluck your eye out. Get out of your life the reason that you're lusting. Find new friends. Find new process. Figure out what the Bible says, how to beat lust, so that you're not going to find yourself judged for that on the other side. Here's the thing you got to remember. As long as you and I are on this side of eternity, we still got a chance to change.
Yeah.
And certainly God is merciful. What causes God's mercy to happen in our life is that you and I are very specific. All right, I can see that, and that, and I'm going to get myself right there. And nothing and nobody is going to stop me from getting there. Let's get another one. Matthew 25:41. This one says, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You think about this. There's a day coming on this earth when every human will be removed. Every single human. There won't be a human left here anywhere. That's after the Battle of Armageddon. And we all appear in heaven before the judgment. Now, some to everlasting death and punishment. Where in the world did we just go? Others into everlasting life. This whole earth will be free from humans. A relief, because it'll be delivered from the torment of wickedness on this earth. And every person will stand before the judgment seat, either the great white throne judgment of the Father or the judgment seat of Christ, which is for you and I, the believer. Two different places, two different judgments. The same book will be judging us. What is so amazing, as I listen to that judgment on the allegory, is we will be judged by God by what is already in the book that we can see right now. We will not be judged on that other side for something that we did not know was coming. Now, let's read this, Acts chapter 2, verses 30 and 32. Acts 2, 30 and through 32. Therefore, being a prophet, King David, and a prophet, that says King David, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all your witnesses. God raised Jesus up out of the dead. Why? Because Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and was righteous, complete, never sinned, faced it all as a man and never sinned. And now he gives that righteousness to you and I that we can enjoy that righteousness every single day. How cool and awesome is that right there? Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9.
Honey, no, I know you're not from God.
Bless you, Roger. For this cause we are implicitly told, God saved you by his special favor when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. This is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Everything that you and I are going to receive in heaven has nothing to do with the fact that we deserved any of it. Isn't that amazing? You and I don't deserve any of what we're getting ready to receive. But because of his great love with which he loved us, we now have access to the wonderful blessedness of God, every single bit of it. And when you think about it, you and I, by simply receiving Jesus and then being a diligent student of his grace, his mercy, and his love, you and I actually are able to receive all of the blessings of God. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5 is where you see the gift five times. Romans chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Well, we're going to go 15 to 21. I love the good news. Amen, Roger. I do too. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many have died, much more the grace of God and the gift of the grace, by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Adam sinned. Can you imagine Adam's sin? Adam's sin has affected the whole world.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Can
you imagine being held accountable for that?
But Adam's righteousness, all the way to the end, 960 years, or 35 years, whatever it was, gets him into heaven. 18. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, Jesus' righteousness, is a free gift to you. Say it. I receive it.
I receive it.
I receive it. Which came from many offenses resulted in your justification, just as if you never sinned. We've received it. 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned, and it did, through the one, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. It's a gift. That's why people who work real hard to be righteous are always frustrated. Because it's not a work. It's a gift. You can't work hard and be saved. They stood before the throne. We heard him tonight. Yeah, but look at all I've done. No, it's not about your working hard to get you into heaven. It's a free gift that you receive. And anybody can receive it. Salvation's a free gift. Righteousness is a free gift. The Holy Spirit in you is a free gift. Us being one with the Father is a free gift of righteousness. It brings it all to pass. How cool is that? Look at what 17 says. What much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness will reign in life through one Jesus Christ. And that, what is that? You're now a member of the royal family. And you get to reign with him. We got to get our hearts, our minds, our motives, and most of all forgiveness out of our life.
Yeah, amen.
So that we have the ability to reign in life with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know what? We have that ability. And you and I are seeing this. This is why I ask you guys to help me put those timestamps in that playlist of the free gift of righteousness. Because we've got to get that one thought into every person's mind. Because as soon as you learn that your righteousness is not in your effort, then you got to get righteousness from somewhere. Because you and I have no ability to produce righteousness. Zero. There's nothing in us that gives us the ability to produce righteousness. Zero. So that means we got to find a way to become righteous so that the Holy Spirit can live in us and we can be the temple. And that is you receive the gift and you realize it's a gift and you realize that gift transforms you into a way you never knew was possible. Live without sin. Wow. Now, it didn't say you were going to live without persecution, trials, tests, and all of the rest of that stuff. It's still going to be there. But every time it shows up, it's the opportunity for you to say, watch this, Father, and you're righteous. Somebody in your face, do you wrong? Forgive them. Right now, on the spot. Forgive. You're all forgiven. I might not have you close to me now, but you're forgiven. And I ain't never taking it back, and I ain't never going to hold that against you another day in my life. Why? Because if you hold it against them, Jesus specifically says over and over, your heavenly Father will not be able to forgive you.
Wow.
That's serious. And we heard, what was it, Faintheart that was judged for that?
Was it Faintheart?
Yeah.
No.
It was the lady, Faintheart,
because
he had violated her sexually and she held it against him and the other lady, and she never forgave. And because she never forgave, then guess what? Now she's judged, even though at one point her name might have been in the Lamb's Book of Life, it'll be taken out. Jesus help us. You might be saying on the inside, man, this is really serious, Pastor. Well, it's serious. It's extremely serious. It's extremely serious. It is so serious that you and I got to get real about it. But once you get real and say, hold it, I get the revelation, you will never go that other way. You won't be offended. What? I'm going to let an offense with anybody stop me from getting my eternal reward? Heavens, no.
Amen.
And you might be like, no, boys out in the street. Hell, no. Get out of my life.
Yeah.
Get away. I'll have none of you. You bring up offense. No, go away. Offense got to be one of the quickest things you say. Go. Get out of my life. Because that's going to keep you in right standing with our Lord. We got to keep going. I'm just preaching now. Therefore, as through the one man's offense, this is 18, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. You and me. Do you think Paul's trying to get a point across there?
Yeah.
Yeah. 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded. Think about it. God said to David, a member of your family will be on the throne forever. David murdered a man because he committed fornication and adultery with her wife. Then married the woman. And from that wicked, horrible sin is where Solomon came. The most amazing temple ever built was built. They said there will never be, God said there will never be a man richer than Solomon on the face of the earth. Never be a man more wise than Solomon on the face of the earth. So it's not about the depth of sin you were in. It's about the depth of righteousness that you chase after. And this is a free gift. 20, law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace, the free gift of grace, much more abounds, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness. No, grace, yes, through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Even though tonight is a very alarming night, it's not alarming to you and I who walk with God every day. It's a wake-up call. Mm-hmm. This kind of teaching burns off all the garbage that's trying to grab and connect to us and just, no. Hell is real. It is forever. Heaven is real. It's forever. Get out of hell and come join us in heaven. So, if you're going to preach hellfire and brimstone, then also preach the gift of righteousness and grace, and people will come to our God. Yeah, I just want to preach.
All right.
I had to make up for those spots on the disc. I mean, I've had these, man. Them things survived all of the going up and down the road in the semi out here and all the dust. They survived. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But we'll get them cleaned up tomorrow so we have them right tomorrow night in Jesus' mighty name. Well, hallelujah. Anybody got a question? Okay, there we go. There we go.
You got to unmute, Roger. We can't hear you. There you go.
You hear me now?
Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, I was texting you. about I love the word and preach on faster, preach on.
Bless you, Roger. Bless you, bless you. Do you still have your, can't see it.
You still have your semi-truck, Sam.
No.
No, he didn't have his own.
No, I didn't. I was working for somebody else.
You miss them days?
Oh, you know, I don't mind driving truck. I always like heavy equipment. That's my deal. I like hauling the load. I like getting things done, but that's not what God called me to be. That's what I've done along the way, you know. And I always view it this way. All driving is learning how to haul a load. And what we're doing right here is hauling a severe load of people to heaven. So this is my driving. I go through the gears every night, helping you guys learn how to make it work. And I'm hauling a load just like I did out there.
Amen.
How's that?
Very good.
Oh, y'all didn't know you was a load, did you?
I got a question for you. How many other people got yellow belts?
Yeah, no.
Making it funny.
Well, and then when you see what Sister Leanne or Sister Francetta posted today in the family thread about that, all of a sudden we realize, wow, this is of the most absolute severity. And, you know, they're going to just keep trying to shut our mouth up. And we got to just say, no, you don't get to shut our mouth up.
Nope.
And we're not going to be quiet. And we're not going anywhere. And glory be to God. Glory be to God. Well, what's next is for you now to receive communion together. There we go. A Blog Talk Radio up. We got Zoom up. We got you guys side by side. Brother Dan, bless you out there. I don't have my own truck, but Brother Dan has his own truck. God bless you, Brother Dan, out there, wherever you are tonight. And let's close our session tonight with prayer. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for this wonderful teaching.
Thank you for this wonderful teaching.
I receive it in all of its fullness. I thank you for your grace and mercy in my life. I thank you for your love and the abundance of your grace. I thank you, Lord, that tonight is another layer of foundation that makes me so solid and so stable and so secure, and I give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Now, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. 1 John chapter 4, 17 and 18. For I received from the Lord, hold your communion, that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, as Jesus is right now, so are we in this world, in Jesus' mighty name. You might say, Pastor, I don't know how I can be the same as Jesus, because it's not your effort. It's his blood. It's his mercy. It's his grace. It's his righteousness. And it's his Holy Spirit. And when you receive them, he is the one that makes you worthy. How cool is that? Mm-hmm. This is the greatest message that could ever be told anybody. It's the greatest message. And you and I will say it again and 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 again. Because glory be to God for his indescribable gift that is in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen?
Amen.
Now, ready? Let's judge ourselves, pray a prayer, and we'll receive the communion elements. Pray this prayer with me. If you want to kick your mics on, that's good. I like it. I like hearing us all together. Brother Dan, don't hang up, because as you know, they'll still be there. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know that you are inside of me.
I know that you are inside of me.
And I am living in you every day.
And I am living in you every day.
Thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives in me.
Thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives in me.
Thank you that you are alive and well.
Thank you that you are alive and well.
In my life, in every area.
In my life, in every area.
Help me walk with you every day.
Help me walk with you every day.
So that I am always bringing glory and honor.
To
your name in front of everyone.
In front of everyone.
That I might meet anywhere.
That I might meet anywhere.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. You know what's amazing? We are in the kingdom.
Amen.
We are seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Right now. How awesome is that? Amen. Ready? Let's hold up our elements. We'll bless them and we'll receive them together. I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
Everybody's welcome to say it out loud if you want to. For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you,
Lord. Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying in my body.
Every joint supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's receive his broken body together. Let me try this. Hold on. There we go. Every time one of you speak alongside of me during communion, the screen will disappear. And you'll see their name. But that's all right. We know what's happening. Say it with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin is placed in remission.
Every sin is placed in remission.
And I am a new creation in Christ.
And I am a new creation in Christ.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly to the throne of grace.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony,
I overcome. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over.
Every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family. My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me in Jesus' name.
When you come for me in Jesus' name.
Amen, 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 amen.
Let's receive the juice together. Let's sing our song. Everybody sing it. Everybody sing this one. Let's do a new one. Down at the cross where my Savior died. You know, downward from cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. I lost it. Anyways, well, hallelujah. I was going to go at it again, and I just don't even know where to start. Glory be to God. You know, last night, I meant for us to pray for Dr. Barclay's family. Because on Monday night, his wife, Vicky, her sister, Dawn, went to heaven. And, you know, that family, and they're not that old. I mean, they're only like 65 or 70. They're just young people. And so that whole family's dealing with that issue. And they would be glad to have you praying for them. I don't remember what her last name was. Anyways, her name is Dawn. And let's pray for them now. And pray for those who are amongst us that need God's touch in their life. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, We bless the Barclay family today. Thank you, Lord, for every bit of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that Dr. Barclay has brought into my life. Thank you that I have the ability to teach it here and instruct these in it. Our lives have been changed by this family. And now, Lord, we pray for the Dawn Hit family. All of them, her children, everything that's connected to her, Lord. All the body of believers there at Living Word that knew her. In the mighty name of Jesus, you said that you, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we thank you for it. Bless this family with your comfort. We speak life and life more abundantly into every one of the members, every family member, every child, every grandchild. Bless them with peace and strength and that healing power that comes from on heaven. Lord, we pour in the healing balm of Gilead because that's what you told us that we were supposed to do. And we bless this family. In Jesus' mighty name, right now, in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Amen.
You know, I want to tell the story right now because we just heard the finishing of the allegory and everybody being judged and everything. But Dr. Barclay's story of when he got born again is one of the most unique stories there ever was. He was, and the messenger that brought him the message was a 12-year-old kid who knocked on his door to tell him, you need Jesus before you go into combat. Let me help you find Jesus. And then it was Mark Barclay. Then he said, get off my porch or I'll punch you right in the face. And the kid didn't move and he punched him. And when he jumped off the porch with a broken nose, and blood began to come down his face. He turned, and no, he ran away. Came back the next night, knocked on the door, and he said, Dr. Bart said, I said, what a stupid kid. Opened up that door, and the kid was down in the grass and pointed his finger at him and says, God wants to use you in his kingdom. You need to get right with him, and ran away. Can you imagine if that kid hadn't done that for Dr. Barclay?
Oh, my goodness.
You wouldn't know me.
And that was bold. What a bold move for...
You wouldn't know me. I mean, to put all this into perspective that we're doing, you think about that one. Think about that 12-year-old boy. Hopefully, somebody helped him walk with God the rest of his life. Because accredited his account in heaven is every work that pastor and all of his ministry and his family and every one of us get done every day. Can you imagine that reward on the other side? But you got to be faithful clear to the end. Because there's many, many preachers, like Paul said, who after they have preached the message, been an example, then they fall away. And man, Jesus said, you got to be faithful all the way to the end. And he that is faithful to the end will be saved. And thank God that we have that opportunity. And thank God we receive that blessing from Dr. Barker. I mean, a life of righteousness and peace and holiness in the middle of every bit of persecution and absolute hatred and, wow, death threats and death attempts on his life. God has helped him continually be a man of God. And I'm so grateful for it. And to think we're going to be one of the jewels in his crown. It's going to be a pretty big jewel because I'm serious about getting you to heaven. I'm serious about getting everybody to heaven and all the junk cleared out of our lives so that we can get there not only and make it in, but actually have a reward that in a crown that we can present before Jesus. That makes every offense, no matter what it is and no matter who it's with, unworthy of another minute of your time. Your mind is, Brother Osteen, guys walked up and started gossiping, put his fingers in his ears. These are not garbage cans, and that is garbage, and walked away. What? Not going to hear it. Not going to be a part of it. I have the most beautiful righteousness in my life. I will not violate it for anything, anyone. And the worst thing you can have to violate your righteousness is offense. And after God has forgiven you and given you everything he's given you, my goodness, take some life. May God help us. Now, I'm all done. I want to hear what some of you got tonight. Finding the unmute button. Find it, find it, find it. Every time I see you guys' videos up there at the top, I like to wave at you. Nobody wants to talk. All right.
Got more knowledge.
Amen, brother.
I don't know what to tell you.
More understanding, yeah.
Amen. It's just I honestly feel it's just another layer in our foundation. That's how I feel. I've heard this now about 10 times, and it's just another layer in my foundation that just solidifies it, knocked off some junk and some flack off the edges. No, get off my life. You don't get to be any part of me.
Amen.
And that's awesome. Go ahead, Rebecca.
What was that?
I said, go ahead.
With what?
Well, I don't know. You're always a woman of great wisdom.
Not always.
All right. All right. All right. Anybody else? We've been here for a little bit, so if you guys are ready to go, we'll go. Sister Phyllis?
Y'all come back now here for more good work.
We will. And you too. We love you guys.
Go ahead, Phyllis.
Have a great night.
Thank you. I'm glad I watched film.
Amen. You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. Well, if nobody else has anything to say, Phyllis, give us the closing verse.
It's a great amen.
All right. I'm not muted, huh? Okay. And now unto him is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen.
The great amen.
The great amen. Delete that one, Facebook. Amen. All right.
You're going to stop me from going ahead and saying what I want to about God, Lord.
Night, Rebecca. God bless your sleep.
Good night, Rebecca. Love you. We sure do love you. What about the noon prayer? We're on our last 2 days of this fast, and tomorrow and Friday, I really believe God is asking us to enter in to a final culmination of what we got to have. So on Thursday and Friday, we're not going to have the noon prayer. Just the last 2 days of this fast, we just want to seal everything up that God's been giving us and be able to just take it right in. And so we won't be not going to have noon prayer tomorrow or Friday, of course, not on Saturday either. But every night we'll be here, and tomorrow night we'll be at our normal time. And just make sure you show up early. Make sure you show up here early, because if you're here early, we can get all the food talk done early. all the good stuff done early, and then we can get started, and we might even get two sessions done tomorrow. The next session is called, what was it called? Remember? Judgment of Deceived. The Judgment of Deceased. That's the next chapter. Or The Great Falling Away. I'm not sure which it is on the video. I forgot to look. But thank God for his wonderful mercy, love, and grace to us. In Jesus' mighty name. So I'm back to the whole noon prayer thing. So we're just going to spend the next 2 days just entering in, but we'll see you tomorrow night right here at the same time for our evening program, the Establishing Your Faith program with the Community of Faith, led by the author and finisher of your faith, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
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 Amen. All right. Thank you, Roger, and the same to you. And the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it be with you all. Amen and amen. Remember this? We love you. Yeah.
Sam, is there any way I can watch what you guys watched tonight and last night?
You can't watch it, but you can listen to it on Blog Talk Radio.
Awesome. Okay.
Has you ever got Blog Talk Radio to work for you?
Yeah.
All right.
I go on YouTube. No. How do I do that again?
I'll send you a link.
Awesome. Do I need a password?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Not for there.
No, that's...
I got the password for Zoom written on little pieces of paper everywhere.
Yeah.
And then I've got to find it to get in. So, all right.
All right. If you have trouble finding this...
So much.
Make sure you message us. While we're doing a program like this, we're always going to be monitoring our messenger account, and I'm going to monitor my email account so that anybody having trouble, we can help you get in, because that's what we want to do. That's what
okay.
This is all about.
Yeah, and I was crazy busy with my son, and I just brought him to work now. I got 8 hours. No, well, really, I should sleep. I pick him up at 7 again.
All right.
So, okay, thank you very much.
Yep, love you.
Love you guys.
Bye, Audrey. Have a good night.
God bless you all.
Y'all come back now, you hear?
Amen.
Definitely.
See you guys tomorrow night.
Bye.
All you on Blog Talk Radio, God bless you. God, you bless. Brother, wherever you are out there, may your sleep be sweet and you have visions and prophesy, Joel 2 style, in Jesus' mighty name. Love you, brother.
Mighty name.